Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, today is a motherfucking day. You hear me? Oh my fucking God.
Trumpeter Ovar Arunga. And I had to start out today's show with a piece that I guess is one of his favorite. He's like, Flav, can we just play this? That was You Don't Want to Fuck With This by Black Stacks featuring Ovar Arunga. Ovar, welcome to the Leper Carpet.
What's poppin', Flav? How you doing?
I'm so excited about you coming. You got to love me. You got to love me. Getting 10 o'clock phone call saying, Flav, can we do this? We're doing it, right?
Yeah, I got to love you. You already know. Love's the name of death.
So you've got so much going on, Ovar. It must be crazy being you right now, traveling all over, you know, the United States to going now internationally with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So what's that feel like for you?
It's definitely surreal. You know, like I started out in Seattle as a artist, and my goal was to make music every day and try to touch everybody in my city, in my state, and now I'm able to do that on a global scale. So I play every day, but I'm just doing it all around the world, in different cities, in different states, in different countries, and, you know, it's just good to see that growth and, you know, evolution does occur as an artist. You're never stagnant, you know, it moves. There is motion to the whole process. I love that piece.
Well, we're excited about it. You know, I mentioned to you briefly, you know, about my granddaughter Kimora and, you know, how she knows and loves her Black Stacks family, and she considers you a part of her Black Stacks. And she's like, you know, we were watching the billboards, and it was like, Uncle Ovar, you know, and I mean, she immediately zoned in, you know, on that, and that was really exciting for all of us, you know, to be able to see you, you know, on television, you know, and on all these major talk shows, you know, everything, and it bouncing around with that horn and the love that, you know, Garfield's horn section's getting, you know, through Macklemore, and, you know, big ups to all of you, you know, because, you know, you're putting us on the map, And that's what, you know, I try to do in my own way. So, you know, it's exciting to see you out there, you know, doing that too. But, oh, let's take it back a little bit. Let's take it back and give us a little history about who you are, you know, as a trumpet player and how it all got started.
Well, you know, me, myself, I stand on the shoulders of giants who came before me. So I've been a lover of music, all music. I started out in, born and raised in Kenya, and I used to listen to a lot of Lingala music, which is like a Zairean, Swahili, French mix of music. Artists like Kanda Bongo Man, Franco, these are like, you know, African singers who had a way of, you know, bringing classical and African vibe to the club. And a lot of that music was like guitar based, kind of like if you listen to Fela or any of those other artists. And Michael Jackson was definitely a huge inspiration for me as well. You have people like Miles Davis, Freddie Hubbard, Lee Morgan, Charlie Parker, Duke Ellington, Count Basie. All these people are people who influenced me, and I feel a part of their continuum, you know, Sun Ra. I was able to, later in my life when I went to college, study with Ahmed Abdullah, Reggie Workman, who played with John Coltrane, and be tutored under the master Jimmy Owens and Olu Dara, who's Nas's father. And these are all people who gave me insights into what it is that being a musician, what it is being a musician entails. People like Olu Dara used to sit me down and he used to be like, yo, just close your eyes and envision the people in your audience, what they have on, the lighting, how the stage feels, who you're playing with, every single detail, you know, immerse yourself in that. They really gave me beautiful insights into the nuances of what it is to imagine and become childlike and be creative and, you know, meditate on beautiful things and try to put that out into the world, you know. People like Ahmed Abdullah who taught me that, you know, Malcolm X would look at the music as the message. And these are things that stuck with me along the way in my career, you know, lessons that I take with me everywhere I go. So even though I was able to have fellowship with them for a certain amount of time, I took those lessons with me and I continue to employ those messages now, you know.
Right. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I appreciate, you know, you taking us back through kind of the history of it all, and appreciate the fact that you give honor to the elders. It's something that, you know, Jason and I from Black Stack talk about all the time. It's always honoring the elders and where, you know, the beginnings and foundations came from. And I've had this conversation with your sister, you know, Ebony, who I've worked really closely with too, and about you and my feelings and about your music. You know, of course, my introduction to you is through Black Stacks, and so I will reference that just because that's how I know you. But
yeah, we've
I've
had
seen
a lot
you,
of good times, right, Blake?
Yeah, you know, but I've seen you come into, like, a rendezvous, you know, wearing your Sounders soccer shirt, you know, carrying your trumpet, you know, and just, you know, in a sense, kind of quiet and thoughtful. You know, just there's a warmth about you, but there isn't like this cockiness. You know, there seems to be a sincerity. And one of the things that I love about you is when I see you on stage, it's like you go into a zone. You know, it's almost like other people are not there, maybe even not even Black Sex, you know, are on stage with you. And you go into the zone. And it's beautiful because in my thinking, in the way that I take it in, it's your time and your story, you know, through your musical notes. And, you know, it's like, in a sense, this is how we connect with you, you know, is through your horn and through your presence. And you've got a big presence. You've got a big presence. And so I've come to appreciate you so much in that aspect. But, of course, you know, there are stories, you know, that we can tell, you know, about you And there are some pieces I was telling you that I do want to share, that to me just are significant in who you are and your evolution as an artist. But you know what? There's a caller, and I'm going to bring them in right quick because I know they don't have much time, but they want to say
that's
hello to you. All right.
Let's do it.
All righty. All right, Monica Monet calling in from Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to the Leopard Carpet with your boy Owar Orunga, who you actually had the opportunity to have play with you at Lucid's Jazz Lounge when you were here.
Yeah, hey, what's up, y'all? What's up,
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just had to call
Florida
in today.
Florida in the building.
Yeah. I just had to call in today to send my blessings and love and all that good stuff to you. I was, like, so happy that you played with me. It was an honor. Your spirit, you have such a warm spirit, and like Lady Flavor said, you just take over a room, your smile, your spirit, and just the love that I see that you have, the passion. So I just wanted to call in to wish you all the blessings and that overflowing with blessings, and big up to you and Black Stats, my family in Seattle. You know, I love you guys so much. So that's about it, but just want to say your blessings.
You know what they say, Monica. You know, they say it takes one to know one.
You know, but I'm glad I know you guys. You know what I'm saying? It's just wonderful, wonderful blessings here.
Did.
I know.
I remember me and Monica did that gig together, and it was the day of. We hooked up. We rehearsed, like, literally, what, 3 hours before the show? Got everything in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The fearlessness of this woman, the fearlessness to come to the city and meet up with a band, teach them all the cuts, and go in on stage like that. That was incredible. So mad respect to you. Like, I always respect a fearless musician, you know, a fearless artist who's willing to put everything on the line. You know, that was beautiful. That said a lot to me. That showed me your colors, for real.
I mean, me the same, because I always wanted to meet you, too, when I saw you with Black Stats, I Love My Life, and I saw a YouTube video. I think it was later, he was in Africa playing.
Mm-hmm.
You're an amazing, amazing artist, and whatever you have now, it's just the tip of what you're going to have. You know, just the humbleness, and you know, you just can tell when some people just, you know, it's going to just do what they need to do, and it's just going to be your life. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a beautiful life story. So I'm just glad to be a part of your life story. You know, I got to perform with you and stuff like that. It's wonderful. We're going to do it again, though.
Yeah, that
most
night
definitely.
Will infamously live forever, though. Slayer got it on tape, so I'm glad she did that. Everybody check out that YouTube. That joint's hot.
Most definitely.
It is. And it's so funny, Owar, before Mike has to go, it was so funny because I told her about Thrift Shop, right? Because it's, you know, you mentioned that track to people around the United States, and they're like, yeah, I know that. I said, well, Owar, you know, performing with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and she's like, really? You know, so it's like, you know, taking you into a different element, you know, and now being able to say, you know, you're a part of that movement and being able to, you know, Owar's leaving for Europe tomorrow, Monica.
Ooh, I know that's right. That is going to be great.
Yeah, Europe.
It's going to be beautiful.
Then Europe today, Africa tomorrow, Asia the day after. You know what I'm saying?
I know that's right. Hey, I know that's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, Monica, thank you so much for calling in. I know that you're busy. You got to get at it here in a few minutes. But thank you so much for calling in and showing
Anytime.
Old some love.
Anytime. Love y'all. Love y'all. Safe travels,
Love
Pete.
You, too. Have a good one.
You, too. Bye-bye, y'all.
All right. Bye, honey.
Peace.
All right. Monica says she wanted to call in, you know, and she talks about that experience all the time. you know, coming up here to Seattle and having you, you know, get on the stage and perform with her. That is one of her fondest memories of Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, that was a crazy night. Blue was in the building. Rasheed mm-hmm. Wallace came through. That was a, wow, that was an incredible moment in Seattle music history.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Felicia
it was a good
Loud.
Moment.
Everybody was in the house, yeah.
Yeah, that place was packed. And but you know what? I mean, it kind of goes back to, you know, how organic music can be, you know, and how just, you know, the impromptus and, you know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you and Monica have performed before, you know, and you hadn't. And, you know, and with the Tony Lewis trio and all of that, you know, it just shows me, you know, the strength of the musicianship. You know, I'll be honest with you, you know, after I had talked to you last night, you know, about this show today, I woke up at 4 something in the morning. I was a little overwhelmed and tears kind of came to my eyes because it just, when I think about who I am and what I do, I am so extremely blessed to be connected to some amazing talents, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, to across the United States and around the globe. And, you know, I have to thank you. I have to thank you, you know, for wanting to do this with me. Because you don't have to. You have opportunities, you know, to be heard and showcased by many, many other media outlets right now. You know, so I appreciate the fact that you wanted to step on the leopard carpet with me.
Yeah, my mother always told me that everything is grassroots, so make sure you pay attention to your roots, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So that's one of the things. It's so necessary, Blaise. So necessary.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I want to play just a short snippet of a piece that I'm very, very fond of, and Monica mentioned it, you know, briefly, that, you know, you over in Egypt, you know, sitting on a camel playing your trumpet. And I'm going to ask everybody who's listening to go check out YouTube, but find the piece that says prophecy, and it's a change is going to come. So I'm going to play a little snippet of that piece. You'll hear the wind blowing and everything, but hopefully you'll kind of get the essence of it and then, you know, go over and check it out on YouTube.
Kind of breaking up, but I heard what you said.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you clearly now. But
okay.
yeah, it was the way that happened is my godmother, Dr. Joy Hardiman, a professor at Evergreen, she asked me to record Change Is Gonna Come, and she was gonna present it in her class as part of a video presentation, like a PowerPoint thing. And I was like, okay. And it just so happened I left the country and didn't have enough time to do it. But I still had it in mind, and I was like, yeah, I got to get this into my Auntie Joy. So I ended up going to the pyramids that day, and I was like, wow, this is a perfect opportunity to record the song, you know, with a certain backdrop that would be interesting. At the time, the revolution was about to pop off. It was like 2 days before the revolution in Egypt, the Jasmine Revolution. In Tunisia, they were already popping off. You know, cats were already, you know, calling for the for their leader to step down. And I recorded that just as an homage for her. But then it ended up being something that tied into the revolution as well. Change is going to come. And Sam Cooke song that we all have come to love. But, that's how that ended up happening is I recorded it 2 days before the revolution, sent it to my godmother, and all of a sudden everybody was like, wow, are you okay, dog? Because we heard that there's bombs going off and buildings being burnt and people shooting in Egypt. But my experience from the Egyptian revolution was probably one of the most incredible examples of civil disobedience. I mean, you have places in Alexandria where the Christians and the Muslims teamed up together. So on a Friday where the Muslims pray, the Christians formed a human chain around the Muslims to protect them. And if you were familiar with that time, there were bombings going on at Christian churches, the Coptic Christian churches. So for the Christians to show solidarity with the Muslims, it was such a deep thing, It was such a beautiful thing to witness children painting lampposts after the revolution and sweeping the streets and watching little kids protecting their neighborhoods because the cops were all on leave. And it was just incredible to watch. And they prayed their way to freedom, Like people literally went to the Tahrir Square and got on their knees and prayed to God hugged the policemen when they encountered them. And it was just like, you really get to see why Egypt is the cradle of civilization, You really get to see how these people interact with each other and ask for true, like, they really are all leaders, They took the reins into their own hands, and it was just beautiful to watch. One of the defining moments in my life.
That's an amazing story, and and I'm glad that you shared that because I didn't know all of that. I knew that when I go to YouTube, because we do it pretty frequently, and check you out and what's going on with you, what's being posted up and all of that, and that particular video just I don't know, It just stops me and takes me in and saying, this is so much bigger than what we do here in Seattle, and now to understand, the story, behind that. But let me ask you a hard question, if it's okay, Owar, in regards to that particular piece. Now, is there a connection from that particular piece to Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis?
Definitely. But doing that piece, if you're familiar with the whole thing, it didn't go viral in a million, but in our community of artists, everybody was familiar with it. So everybody in the town, our hip hop. Fraternity, which includes, Black Stacks, The Physics, Dissatisfaction, Shabazz Palaces, Macklemore, all these cats in the town, everybody got a chance to see that. So it kind of became one of those, for lack of a better word, iconic pieces. And when they were shooting ideas around for the treatment of the video, that definitely became like one of those things that, this is part of Seattle hip hop. I'm not a rapper, but I'm the official hip hop trumpeter of Seattle.
Said,
you got to put that in. You got to put that piece in because it kind of like says something about our story. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that definitely ties into the Can't Hold Us video with the camel and the heist flag and the sand dunes and all that. Yeah.
Okay. I just kind of wondered, of course, because, being that being my favorite piece, one of my favorite videos of you, and I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I wonder if I'll ever have a conversation with Owar and be able to ask him about that. So, I know. I don't know if you've heard, you know, some of the talk or whatever, you know. And when there's popularity and, you know, a sense of fame going around out there, you know, of course there's going to be talk. And, you know, there are people that either love thrift shop or don't. I know that it definitely leans towards a young demographic. You know, the kids are digging it. You know, and it's so funny because I see people talking about their babies in the car listening to it, and you know, babies popping their hands up in the air. You know, and it's so, you know, cute. I mean, even my own grandchild and everything. You know, but you know, there are people that go from one extreme to the other when it comes to, you know, like thrift shop and you being a part of that whole, you know, scene with that particular type of hip hop. You know,
right.
How does that make you feel knowing that, you know, it is so much in the spotlight or in people's minds? You know, this, especially this particular piece with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Thrift Shop.
I think I believe that personally, you know, I've been trying to meditate to write and kind of align the way I think with not being afraid of success, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for the past 4 years, I was introduced to a book called The Artist's Way. And one of the main exercises in The Artist's Way, written by Julia Cameron, is you write every day. So I started my writing kind of venting. And I got to a point where I would write about what I wanted to do. So what that included was I'd write to myself. I'd say, not that I want to, but I am playing on television. I am on the Tonight Show. I am at the Billboard Awards. I am playing in Germany in front of 40,000 people. I am at Lollapalooza in front of 60,000. And what happened is all that came to fruition, right? So
right.
Before it actually happened, I kind of like tuned myself and my creative inner child was accepting it to be okay, you know? It was just kind of like, in all true honesty, you know, I never tell anybody this. I don't tell everybody this, but I'm sharing it with you guys. It's like really, I read that it was written. So what I've come to understand is that there's a feedback loop. When you write something, it actually comes to pass. So to me, it was just a way in which those writings and those journals came to pass. And when it happens, I think of it as a beautiful thing. It really becomes the idea that anything you think or want to do or are passionate about and you want to put your time in will come to pass. If you write it, it'll happen. If you practice it, you'll master it. And it's just part of my journey, you know. It's not necessarily a destination. It's just part of the journey of what I want to do. And it's actually aligned with my goals and aligned with the way I see myself. So ending up going 7 times platinum and, you know, having all these platinum plaques at my house, that's something that I wanted. So why be mad at myself now for something that I wanted? So, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So now it becomes like, how do you continue? So what I've come to understand is whatever got you to that point is what you want to continue doing. So what does that mean? I practice, I write, I meditate, try to eat right, get my rest, you know, very mundane things, not necessarily, you know, any myth or mystery to it. It's just like doing the everyday process and going through the everyday process to continue putting out work that people are moved by with a message. And Thrift Shop has a really beautiful message. It's saying that you don't have to have money or a lot of dough to be fresh. Like, it's really left up to your creativity. So, in a nutshell, that's what that whole phenomenon with Thrift Shop being, you know, 7 times platinum in the U.S. now, that's what that kind of, that's how I see that and how I frame it for myself.
And I think that's okay, you know, and I appreciate you sharing that story also, because it's really interesting, you know, in working with independent artists or underground artists, you know, there's a mindset that can be so very, very challenging. You know, one minute people are saying they want to make money from what it is that they do. They want to have that fame. You know, they want to be able to step out there and be recognized. And then the next minute it's like, okay, you shouldn't even talk about money at all, or you shouldn't talk about fame. Or if you get to that point where you are in the spotlight, you know, in some way, shape, or form, like, how did you get there? And, you know, I mean, everybody has an opinion. And I was having a conversation the other night with an artist, a new artist, and I said, you know, once you step out there publicly, people are going to have an opinion. And it's not necessarily always going to be favorable. And you're going to have to be able to accept those challenges if this is what it is that you want to do. And, you know, you should embrace it, you know, O.R. I mean, I know that you know that already, but, I mean, this is an amazing time for you, you know. And, you know, whether you love it or you hate it, they're paying attention, right? People are paying attention.
Right.
You know, right. And in a sense, that's what you want. That's, you know, even the haters cause you to get pushed out there to be popular, you know, but... I mean, right?
Yeah, real
you know.
Talk. I mean, I think, like, there's it's like 99% beauty, and then there's like 1% of whatever else would be the opposite of that. But really, like, going all around the world and being in a group, and everybody in the group's from Seattle, and having our community really put this music out to people in, for instance, France that don't speak English, and to hear them, mm-hmm. like, sing every word of Thrift Shop, ad-libs included, is a powerful
right.
thing. And you really do realize, to something you said before, it's greater, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than
yeah.
me. It's bigger than Matt Lamore. It's bigger than any one of us. It's something bigger happening. And I think I really do feel like there's some type of shift happening consciously, where people are able to relate to music like that. Because really, a song about thrift shopping should be like an underground hip hop cut, or
mm-hmm.
you know, not so popular, but it ends up being popular. And you know, that's a testament to the true beauty of how anything can happen. You know, there really are no limits.
Right, and I would imagine, I mean, I don't really know, but I would imagine when this particular piece, you know, was created, Mac Lamore and Ryan Lewis probably had no idea, like no idea how it was going to blow up like this, right? I mean, I don't know, but maybe you hope for something, right, but you don't necessarily know, and it is a piece. I mean, every time I turn on Ellen DeGeneres, she's singing it. She's singing
right.
and dancing
yeah.
to it. To them, those two little girls she has all the time. I can't think what their names
right.
are. They're
right.
singing it, you know.
Right.
And so,
it's,
I mean,
it's crazy.
It is crazy, and it's something that I would imagine would be an absolutely amazing experience, like you say, to go, you know, around, you know, the world and have people, you know those words and. To experience and to show the excitement and everything, you know. But, you know, I appreciate, you know, where you go and how you feel and how you've kind of just, I was going to say interpret this all for yourself, but I guess that's not necessarily the right term. It's just, you know, how you come to terms with, you know, this is what your life is. I mean, we've seen the pictures of you in jets, you know, and, you know, riding and, you know, and all of this, and you know, I'm tongue-tied right now, but, it, you know, it's exciting, and, you know, we're happy for you. I want you to know, we're happy for you, and it's exciting, you know, to see you out there doing this. I'm going to bring somebody in, and hopefully they don't get mad at me. Come on. It's bro. rolling here.
Yo. The line's breaking up a little bit.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear everything clearly.
Okay. All right. JC, up your phone line.
Say that again.
Jace. Okay, are you gonna answer? Hello. Okay, maybe he's got us on mute. He may be out doing something. I know that he said that he was. I know he said he was gonna call in and listen. So anyway, Jace, the phone line's open if you want to talk at some point. But you know, this is you know, Black Stacks, JC Cage, you know, Olar's brother, you know, and
yeah.
One of the things that we talk about all the time when we have our Black Stacks meetings and stuff, it's like, you know, Olar's always family, you know, that never stops, you know, even if he's traveling and doing, working with other artists or, you know, out there experiencing, you know, new heights and all of that. It doesn't ever stop that, you know, you're considered a part of our Black Stacks family, you know, and that means something, you know, to us, you know, it really, really does, because it just, you know, when I create some different, you know, things for, you know, Black Stacks and all of that, you know, and I go through the pictures and you're always there. And I'll be honest with you, they performed at the Triple Door just recently, and there's something about warrior spirit, Olar. There is just something about warrior spirit that it just says something to me, and it's never the same, and you guys get into it just so different, you know, every single time I hear that particular piece. And they did that piece, and I said, you know what, there's one thing that's kind of missing tonight with that. Olar's not here. You know, because I think about that particular piece and being, you know, something that you were definitely a part of, because it just, that one just goes to a whole new, you know, element. But, you know, I can go on and on and on about that.
When we recorded Warrior Spirit, it was like a time where me and Black Stacks, we'd meet in the studio twice a week. I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we did sessions twice a week, like really prolific period in our lives, you know, where Felicia Loud, Jace, Black, and I would meet up with Castro, get in the stew, put down ideas, record music, refine it, add parts, listen to it, run it back, rock a show the next day, come back to the studio, and it was just the output was so high, you know, and we were around each other all the time. We had a residency at Babalu's in on 45th in Wallingford in the U District, and that was also a formative time for us getting our live set together and really internalizing the music, and it was just a beautiful period. So the chemistry that occurred during that point is, it can't be paralleled by, you know, you'd have to spend so many hours, you literally have to kick it with a band for a year in order to replicate. Like, the chemistry mm-hmm. was so just thick and right, you know? So,
yeah.
That's behind, like, songs like Warrior Spirit or You Don't Want to Fuck with This or The Hardest. All those songs were birthed out of a very, very potent brotherhood, sisterhood, chemistry that was happening during that time.
And you can tell that, you know, and I tell Jace this all the time in Felicia and Black that, you know, whenever they, you know, perform and you perform with them, it's very clear that you kind of feed off of each other and the energy of the moment. To me, it's not something that can be rehearsed, you know, because I don't know. I think it's just everybody plays their part of the story, you know, and it's a musical story. And you know, you vibe off of the audience and what's going on, and it makes the story a little bit different every single time, you know. So I think it's a beautiful
thing.
No doubt. But I came across this one piece, you know, on YouTube, and I'll be honest, I was a little surprised, you know, and so I want to play this because I think this, in a sense, you know, for those of the people that know Macklemore and know him through, you know, the music that, you know, he puts out there and his style, I think this is, takes a different, you know, gives a different insight to him. And so I want to play this piece that of you and Macklemore in Boston, and he's playing the piano and you're playing the trumpet. Now, I absolutely love that piece. I was so pleasantly surprised, you know, when I found it. I loved it, you know, because it was, to me, it just, you could feel it. You know, that was you playing. You know, that was you and Macklemore. You know, it was almost like you guys were in this moment together and just sharing. And I love that particular piece. So I'm so glad that I kind of did a little bit of research. I know that, you know, you got to get ready and, you know, pack and everything, and you're heading out, you know, out on tour. Uh-oh, I got another person who raised their hand. You okay with taking another call?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. Let's do it, baby.
Okay. All right.
Hey, this is Nico. Hi, Mom.
Hey, Tamiko.
Because I heard you were online with OR.
I am.
Hey, Mr. OR. I know that you probably don't remember me, but I know you remember Tiffany Roseborough or Tiffany Bennett.
Oh, come on now. Are you serious?
Exactly. I'm her best friend.
That's what's up.
Right, so I had to call because, you know, I've been keeping an eye and listening to the radio and all this stuff, and I've been watching all the shows, and I was like, man, I gotta call because I seen that she was going to be on with you, so.
Yeah, that's so necessary. I appreciate that.
I'm just sending love because I'm like, dang, you guys are doing it big. I remember when we went on the, it was like a Garfield chaperones, like a camping trip in the middle of nowhere. And you guys were doing you were
cultural,
playing the trumpet and they were rapping.
Was it cultural relations?
Yeah, it was cultural relations.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I helped chauffeur that little event for you guys.
That's
so I was like, that's when it all started. That's when I first met you, and I was like, man, he's doing it big, so I got to support
him. Yeah, man. That was a crazy thing because Aaron Walker Lau was part of that. There was a lot of people, and Garfield used to have these retreats where all the students would learn how to facilitate different discussions on sex, on race issues, being gay or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being straight and how to converse amongst each other as youth on those ideas, different issues. And that was really dope because that kind of helped me formulate my ideas about the world. So, yeah, I totally remember that.
Right, yeah. It was a trip. Just watching like I didn't watch it progress, but this was when I had met you and then Nick and everybody who was, you know, Nick Roseborough and now watching you guys on, like, the, what was it, Saturday Night Live, and you guys performed on that, and just seeing, you guys as teenagers and now as grown men, it's like a trip.
Yeah, I remember, we were at Lucid. The last time we kicked it, we were at Lucid. Tiffany was in the house, so I remember that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because
Tiffany came out when Monica was here at Lucid when O'War played with Monica.
Exactly, that was that night. Yeah, it did.
Right.
Totally. I'm here to the game, you know what I'm saying? I'm here to the game, don't you?
Yeah, I see you doing your thing, man. I'm watching the videos. I was like, look at O'War. Like, this is a trip, like, just watching you guys. So, yeah, no, just all the best. Keep going,
doing your thing.
And, I have to mainly keep an eye on you because trumpet is my favorite musical instrument. So I was like, man, I got to keep an eye on you.
Me too.
All right, man. Well, yeah, Mom. And also say hi to my mother. Hi, Mom.
All right. It's so funny, O'War, because I'm sitting here like my cell phone's blowing up during the show, right? I'm like, everybody knows I'm on the air, right? I'm like, why is Tamiko calling me on my cell phone? I had no idea she wanted to call into the show. I'm like, why is my daughter calling my cell phone right now? I'm on the air. That's so funny. You know,
I saw the Facebook post, and I was like, hold on. I had to run back through it. I'm actually on my lunch break. And I was like, thank God I'm on my lunch break. I get to talk to O'War while I'm, breaking. Because, man, I would have been mad. I would have been mad.
That's classic.
Oh, man.
That's classic.
That's funny.
Right.
Well,
I'll let you guys go. But, yeah.
All right, baby. Well, thank you for calling
right,
into
Mom.
The show.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. That is so funny. Yeah. My phone is, like, blowing up. You know, I'm like, okay, y'all can, like, call the show if you really want to. Like, why are you asking me questions on by text, you know? I'm even getting private Facebook messages. I'm like, okay, y'all. but, you know, this has been great for me, you know, O'War. And, again, you know, I'm honored, you know, to have you on this show. And I'm honored for many reasons, you know. But first of all, your family. And never, ever forget that. Never, ever forget that. You know, your family, you got people that just love you, you know, that have much love and respect for you, that value you as an artist, but value you as a man. And, you know, and that's us, you know, right here with your Black Stacks family. You know, we got our eye on you, you know, and we're proud of you, O. You know, we're proud of, you know, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and how you're representing, you know, the Pacific Northwest. So hopefully, you know, with this, it opens up doors, you know, for more talents to be heard and seen, you know. But, you know, I'm thrilled for you. You know,
Thank you, Flay. The pleasure is all mine, really.
Yeah. So I'm going to wish you safe travels and, you know, can't wait to, you know, see, you know, the videos and the pictures and everything else that's going on. You are welcome back here, you know, on the Leopard Carpet or Flava News Radio any time, my friend.
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to close out today's show. And I want to thank, you know, everybody who tuned in to listen to this last-minute show. Of course, there's going to be the archives, and we're going to put it out there. You know, but those of you that pay attention close enough and realize, you know, that I do these shows, I'm glad that you came and listened to it live. So I'm going to close out today's show with a piece of just O.R. kind of jamming at Fair Gallery Cafe here in Seattle. Take care. God bless. And this is what we do at Flava News Radio. That was hot, uh-oh.
Michael Jackson, baby, Michael Jackson.
I was like, I'm sitting there listening to it as if I was there my own self. That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff.
Say that,
Makes me smile. This is a good day, O.R. Runga. This is a good day. So we're wishing you safe travels again.
Yes, it is.
All right. So,
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You are so very, very welcome. So, you know, this is how we do it. You know, O.R. Runga on the leopard carpet. Oh, you know what? Y'all need to really, really check it out because, you know, I found these pictures of O.R. in leopard pants. I'm like, that is why I like this man. He got some leopard pants on. I'm like, Ebony, your brother got some leopard pants.
It's necessary.
I'm like, that's why I like this man. He's got leopard pants. Anyway, this is what we do. O.R. Runga on the leopard carpet with Lady Flava. Take care. God bless. And have a great, great day.